don't see. What's yours for the taking tonight? Ooh.
Show me your soul.
All right. Peace, family. Welcome to the Brother Ben X podcast. Let me first thank everybody who is tuned in right now. I want to thank everybody who has commented so far. I want to thank everybody who shared because we finna get into this today. Many people have seen the 7-year-old sister who got killed in the car in Houston. There seems to be, according to the news, allegedly a misunderstanding and a mistake due to some reports. And I'll go through that during this as well. So what I want to do first, I want to read the article that I saw here. It says police in Houston charge suspect with murder in death of 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes. So this was updated at 4:48 Eastern time today. Police have made an arrest in the shooting death of 7-year-old girl in Houston. The Harris County Sheriff's Office said on Sunday, 20-year-old Eric Black Jr. has been charged with capital murder. Black admitted to taking part in the shooting, the office wrote in a statement. Jasmine Barnes was shot and killed in the east part of Houston on December 30th. Wasn't even New Year's yet. Well, according to, you know, the fiscal year or whatever. While riding in a car with her mother and 3 siblings, Jasmine died at the scene. Her mother, LaPortia Washington, and her 6-year-old sister were both injured. Police say they do not think Barnes' family was the intended target of the shooting, calling the death a possible result of mistaken identity. Police initially said that a white man in a red pickup truck pulled up beside the car and opened fire. But at a press conference on Sunday, Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez told reporters that police now believe the driver was most likely just a witness by sight or sound to what actually transpired. And I want to read, Sean King is on a lot of these things when it comes to the legal thing and injustice and really finding out what happened. I want to read what he said on his on his Instagram, because you know he does I believe he does good work when it comes to bringing justice to a lot of our issues, and you know, getting down to the nitty gritty and actually speaking one-on-one with the families. Also, Brother Lee Merritt out of Dallas, he does a great job as that as well. So they both was on this case. I want to read the post he posted this morning. He said, "Let me tell you the story on the red truck and how it came to be the focus of this investigation. Two men in a completely different vehicle pulled up and shot and killed Jasmine Barnes, shot her mother and injured her sisters. Jasmine and the girls were still in pajamas. Her mother and the girls never saw the shooter. They heard the shots, saw that Jasmine was shot in the head, that her mother was shot, and then looked up and saw the red truck with the white man driving it peeling off. Three separate eyewitnesses, each credible, who also heard the shooting, also saw this truck speeding off. I spoke to each of them. They also assumed the white man driving it fired the shots. A brave man even followed the red truck in his own car and got a good look at him. A tow truck driver also saw the truck and got a look at him. In the meantime, the two men that actually shot and killed Jasmine drove off in a completely different direction through the neighborhood. They each later claimed that they thought they were shooting someone from a rival gang." So the guys that actually got arrested that was black, they actually admitted to doing it. So it says, yes, they did it. No, they weren't framed. It just took several days to solve it. So that is what Sean King said based on the research and the work that he has done. So that is that. Now, I'm going to play a couple news clips about what happened from the news, and then I'm going to give you my thoughts on it.
This morning, the arrest of two men, 20-year-old Eric Black Jr. and 24-year-old Larry Woodruff, in the murder of 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes.
Court records say those men shot the car with Jasmine Barnes inside by mistake, thinking it was another vehicle. This is video of one of the suspects, Eric Black Jr., appearing in court just before 5 this morning. We sent you this breaking news alert on your phone around 9:45 last night. ABC 13 reporter Catherine Marchand is live outside the courthouse in downtown Houston. And Catherine, what are we learning about these suspects?
Well, prosecutors say Eric Black was the one driving the suspect vehicle. The other suspect, sources tell us, was Larry Woodruff. He's believed to be the shooter. Black, though, he was the one who appeared in court this morning. Take a listen to what prosecutors had to say.
Sheriff Ed Gonzalez stated that he began directly receiving confidential tips by email from an anonymous source, and that the source identified the suspect who shot the complainant by name and as a black male, referred to by the initials LW. The source stated that LW was in the car with another male identified as EB, later determined to be this defendant.
Now, again, just want to reiterate, Eric Black was identified by name. He's the one who appeared in court. Larry Woodruff, our sources are telling us, was the shooter, but in court today, he was only identified as LW. That source that contacted the sheriff's office said that the two of them shot up Jasmine's mother's car, thinking that it was somebody else's car. Patrol deputies pulled Black over during a routine traffic stop. Homicide investigators interviewed him, and prosecutors say he admitted to taking part in the shooting. He told investigators that the gun was at his house. They found that gun and say it was consistent with shell casings found at the scene. Now, again, that other suspect, he has not appeared in court at this point. We do have a mugshot of him from a previous arrest. The sheriff's office throughout the week has been originally describing their suspect vehicle as a red pickup truck. But in the hearing this morning, prosecutors say Black was driving a dark-colored Kia. The attorney for the Barnes family tweeted this morning saying that the men arrested do not fit the description of even the sketch that the family provided. He said, quote, "It's difficult to understand how at least four independent witnesses mistook two black male suspects for one older white suspect. However, it is imaginable that witnesses confused a fleeing bystander for the actual shooter." And the Harris County Sheriff's Office at this point does not believe that Jasmine's family did anything malicious. They think they are totally innocent in this matter. They are holding a press conference today at 2:00. We will be there and have the very latest for you.
So that's that. I don't, you know, I can kind of see, I guess, how that can happen. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. You know, this one right here is tricky. You know what I'm saying? And what makes it so tricky is that the men admitted to it. They even said in this news clip about how the gun that he had at the house matched the gun at the scene, the bullet shell casings. I mean, they both admitted to it. That's the tricky part, because you kind of want to say, well, damn, how did all those people mistake that? But then at the same time, the two black ones are actually admitting to it. You know, so it's like, you know, it's you know, I don't know. So let's play this. What are y'all thoughts on this? You know, I know we always want to just say, you know, we know the narrative that we want to go with, but then again, it could be the opposite side. So it's kind of like, it's a tricky one. Let's go to the next news clip.
A 20-year-old man has been charged in connection with the murder of 7-year-old Jasmine Barnes. She was killed last month as she rode in a car with her family. Eric Black Jr. appeared in court Sunday. Prosecutors say he admitted to investigators he was driving when a passenger in his car opened fire on the car Jasmine was in. Prosecutors in Texas say the shooting may have been a case of mistaken identity. It was not immediately known whether the other suspect has been arrested. Jasmine Barnes's family had believed her death had been racially motivated. Her 15-year-old sister had identified a white man in a red truck as the shooter.
Okay, so this one, so correction if I said both. One of them came in, or they got one of the so-called suspects or alleged suspects, and he admitted to it, and he said that someone in his passenger seat fired the shot. Okay, so one black guy admitted it. You know, but see, that's the thing with media, you don't really know with media how they can change things up. But the fact that the one black guy, you know, kind of admitted it, kind of like that brings the confusion piece. You know, that brings the confusion piece. And what makes it so confusing is that anybody from Houston know, not too long ago, there was another red truck. I don't believe it wasn't the same truck, but there was another red truck that did something racist as well. Now, I don't know if they have been caught. Do anybody know who I'm talking about? It was some racist people for sure. They had a red truck in Houston, I believe. I can't recall what they did right now. If somebody in the comment section know what I'm talking about, please let me know. But they did something, and I believe people was looking for their license plate number or something like that. So it's not too far-fetched that, you know, white people going around doing things like that. So if anybody recall what I'm talking about in Houston, it wasn't too long ago, maybe like a month or two ago, something had just happened with white people, a group of white people in a red truck. Here's the next one.
My oldest, she was doing the head count in the car. She was, after the shots were fired and everything, after the window broke and everything, I stopped and she was like, she say, "Ebony, are you okay?" And Ebony answered, she said, "Yes, I'm fine." She said, "Unique, are you okay?" Which is my 6-year-old. Unique said, "Yeah, I'm okay." She said, "But my neck hurts. Something has hit me in my neck. My neck hurts." And she said, "Jasmine, are you fine? Jasmine, are you okay? Jasmine, Jasmine." She said, "Mama, she's not moving. She's not answering." I turned on the light and turned around and looked at my 7-year-old, and she was leaned against the door, and she was not moving. She was not breathing. I knew then that she was gone. We pulled over on the median, and my two oldest got out and started flagging and screaming for help, flagging and screaming for help, and cars were just passing us by. Nobody would stop for us at first. And finally, a black male pulled over, and he was like, "What's going on? Are y'all okay?" And she was like, "No, my mother shot, my sister shot. Can you please help us? Can you get us to the hospital?" Sure. I replayed this moment in my head over a million times to see, did I cut this man off? Did I make a wrong turn in front of him? Did I stop him from getting out of the Walmart for whatever he was doing. Did I do anything wrong to cause this man to fire shots in my car? And I did it. I didn't do anything. I didn't make a wrong turn. I didn't get over in his lane. I didn't do none of that. He fired off at us for no reason. None. And I just tell that man, you know, it would be so much easier for you to go ahead and turn yourself in, because we're not going to stop looking. We're not going to stop looking. We're going to bring justice to my baby. We're going to bring justice to my baby. You cannot hide for too long.
Hmm. Oh, my, my, my. So, this is the little sister right here. Sister Jasmine Barnes. Jasmine Barnes. Now, not knowing what actually happened, because, you know, we can bring up as many scenarios and stories as we can, but actual facts we don't know at the moment. I mean, we just don't know. You know what I'm saying? We can base it off of history. We can do all, but we just don't know exactly what went down. So, I mean, for me, I would say, man, we just have to watch ourselves. We have to be very, you know, I mean, and I know sometimes it's like, shit, even if you do watch yourself, anything can happen. But I'm just saying, just allow these situations to make us alert of our surroundings. General orders in full effect. Walk our post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. Take charge of this post. These are our general orders. Take charge of this post in all property in view. That means when you at the gas station, you need to be on alert. Put your back to the, you know what I mean, to the thing, so you can see everything. When you sitting in a restaurant, make sure your face can see the door. Make sure you know where the exits are. Make sure you know where all the entry places are. You know, sisters, you know, try not to be out late at night by yourself.
The normal credit healing customer, is this you? Sick and tired of having derogatory items on your credit report and living with bad credit? Frustrated that your life is more expensive because of high interest rates and fees due to your poor credit? Not able to fund your own business because your credit stinks? Been turned down for a better job with more income just because you have low credit scores? Afraid of spending thousands of dollars on credit repair companies to fix your credit while not being sure about the outcome? Well, you've just found the right solution to your problems. You'll want to use our proven and easy do-it-yourself 3-step program, because it will get you approved for business loans and higher limits on your credit cards, make you more eligible to purchase your desired home, lower your interest rates, cause you to be the more favorable candidate for higher paying jobs, and even reduce your car insurance fees. You don't have to worry about not getting your money's worth, because if you don't see changes or deletions made to your account within the first 60 days, we will offer you a 200% money back guarantee. Our only concern is that you see positive results. Join thousands of other happy credit healing customers and live a prosperous life by going to www.credithealing.org or calling us at 225-733-6429. Again, that is 225-733-6429 now.
You know, people run around here snatching up children, and people around here kidnapping people. So just be very alert. If you got anybody that's around you, you know, if you can let them know, hey, I'm going to be home in X, Y, and Z. My ETA is such and such and so and so. If I'm not there in this, call me. You know, I'm on this street. I'm on my way. You know what I mean? Just little small things. I know it may be too much to us, but just little small things like that can kind of, you know, just protect us and keep us on that security mind. You know what I mean? Because it's so much crazy stuff going on. And this is why it's so important for us to have a goal of having our own community. I mean, this is so important. Like, there should never be a day where we wake up saying, what is the play? What is the play? What do you mean, what's the play? What do you mean, what do we have to do today? What do you mean, I'm bored? What are you talking about? Our goal should be to unite with our people. Our goal should be unite with everybody we can. And number one, it should be to number one, unite with the God within. We need to get our morals together, our discipline together, our care together, get our own lives together so we can come together in unity and build something for ourselves so we don't even have to come in contact with anybody who's our enemy. Now, yes, we do have enemies that look just like us, but that's why it's important for us to go door to door. That's why it's important for us to build friendship. I get so tired of people every year saying, oh, I'm cutting everybody off. What are you saying? Who created this narrative of that is okay and it's so great to just say you ain't got no friends? Oh, I ain't got no friends. See, when the God came, he said money, good home, friendship of all walks of life. That's what we're taught. But every year we're kind of bragging about not having friends. We need friends. We need family. We need to build relationships so we can build something for ourselves. I remember years ago growing up and people said it takes a village to raise a child. I remember growing up hearing stories about if you do something wrong down the street, Uncle Junebug or Uncle James, whoever, they gonna give you a whooping. And when you come home, you gonna get another whooping. But why is it today when you getting chastised or you being corrected by somebody down the street, even though you really did something wrong, now the parent is upset. You better not say nothing to my child. My child can do what he wanna do. So we're losing the family spirit. We're losing the old morals and principles that we had back in the day, which is why we're beginning to treat ourselves how we treat ourselves. Not only are we losing the principles and morals of having a village and having just a family mindset, we losing our own selves. How can I get, like I always say, how can I give this young brother a kind word and I get up every morning and I don't see myself as something of importance? All I'm doing is I'm not even living. I'm dying. What you doing, brother? Dying? You ain't living? Because if we was living, we'll be striving to do something for ourselves. If we were living, we'll be doing something purposeful, giving energy, giving life to other people. All we doing every day, we're so miserable. We're going to work for somebody else almost 12 hours a day. You come home, you ain't got nothing to do but just eat and go to sleep. Or watch the Cowboy game and go to sleep. So we're not really productive. We're not really dealing with self. We're not really working on ourselves. We're not working on our health anymore. We have became so complacent with the condition that we're in. So if I'm overweight, instead of me really dealing with my weight, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to trick my mind and say, oh, I love me. I'm fine with me. I'm confident. Yes, it's good to be confident. It's good to love yourself. But love yourself enough to know that you need to lose weight. If I'm too skinny, love myself enough to know I need to gain weight. Whatever the case may be, but what we've been doing, we've been tricking our minds to think it's okay. If I need a little extra money in my pocket, if I know I need to create some generational wealth, but I'm poor and I don't know finances, what I say is, oh, money ain't everything. Oh, money can't buy into heaven. Yes, all that is true, but that don't mean you don't have to build generational wealth. So we're tricking ourselves to be complacent and comfortable with the condition that we're in. So if I'm complacent and comfortable with how I am as a human being and I don't want to grow, I have no energy, young brother. I have no energy, young sister, to tell you anything. Why am I going to uplift you if I can't even uplift myself? All right. So we have a lot of work to do. All of us, I don't care if you're in the Nation of Islam. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're a Hebrew. I do not care what your religious background. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republic. Do you want to see black people free? All right, then, let's come together. We need to stop looking for every way to see how we divided. How about we search for ways we can come together? How about we search for ways we similar? I get so tired of people asking questions. Well, how is this different, Brother Ben? Now, what are we different? No, brother. What? Find out what we do alike. Well, how do we think alike? That's the question we should be asking each other, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, man, and you can either believe it or not, but he said, do for self or suffer the consequences. We either going to separate and do something for ourselves, or it's going to keep increasing. It's going to keep happening. And all this, we just going to march. We just going to throw up signs. That ain't going to work. And don't tell me we can't come together. I mean, I don't want to hear we can't come together. Damn it, we can come together for Michael Jordan every December. The new 11 is going to come out. I see you lined up. When the new iPhone come out, I see you lined up. Don't tell me you ain't got time to wait no line. Don't tell me you ain't got time to come out your comfort zone. You ain't got the energy. Man, when the new phone come out, you there. When the new shoes come out, you there. God damn it, when Black Friday come, Black Friday come, all you getting is 50% off. You at the store, ready to bust through the door. Bussing window. Don't tell me we ain't got time, man. We got time. We can come together for things we want to come together for. We can get up and spend time on things we want to spend time on. Don't tell me we ain't got time to come together. Don't tell me we ain't got time to unite. Don't tell me you can't work on yourself so we can start building a community of our own where we can go to our own grocery store. We can go to our own restaurant. So no, it ain't going to take one leader. Anybody who talking about, well, what a leader, one leader, one, it ain't going to take no one leader, man. I don't care if that leader got $3 million, $3 million, $5 million, $10 million. That ain't enough for 40 million black people, man. We all got to come together and do something. It's going to take all of us being leaders in our own right. Me being a leader in my family, me being a leader in my community, me being proactive in my community. I'm tired of us sitting down on our behinds talking about we need a black leader. No, you the black leader that you waiting on. Stop depending on these brothers who've been doing this since the 50s and 40s. They done did their thing. Now it's our time to stand up. Every last one of us individually. Stop talking about where the church at, where the pastor. It ain't going to take one church. It ain't going to take one pastor. What can we do collectively as a whole, as melanated people, original people? That's just the thing, man. So I got to get me together. Let me get my finances together. Let me get my discipline together. Let me get my mindset together. Then when I'm together, I'm bringing me to the table now. What's up? Who can I unite with? Okay, I can unite with you. Boom. Now we got to work on somebody else. Then they come in. Boom. And then we just keep piling up until we got everything we need. Well, I ain't got to worry about my son being outside and worrying about a drive-by. Why? Because it's a gated community. I got brothers that's in the front on security. We policing our own community. See, because it's so easy for us to say we need to police our own community. Well, damn it, how are we going to police our own community when you at work? Think about it. Have y'all thought about this? We always running our mouth. And I'm not saying that's the wrong idea. But what I'm saying is we always want to blame somebody and say, yeah, why y'all ain't doing this? We need to police. All we got to do is, okay, brother, well, what about when somebody makes the call? We need to police our community from 2:00 to 8:00. But then everybody, all the brothers who big and can protect and everything, you know, security minded, they got to work. I'm at work right now. So we got to first get you financially free. We have to first get you separated. Then we can start implementing for our, how can we build a nation part time? How can we build a nation when you hell you? We building a nation for the white man from 9 to 5. Or from 7 to 7, or from 12 to 12. Think about it. That's why it's going to take every last one of us focusing on ourselves, not just one group, not just one leader. It's going to take all of us. So we got to have a goal in our mind, man. So hey, we shouldn't wake up on social media and getting on Facebook saying, what's the play? I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. Man, you better go study. Go read something. Go do something. Go make a deal. Invest in something. It's too much stuff for us to do. It's too much for us to do. And it's not going to take one person. It's not going to be one group. All of us got to do something individually. I'm not saying I got to be the one who build a school, build a hospital, build a restaurant. I mean, I may not be able to afford everything or do everything. It may not even be my interest. But what I'm good at, let me do me. What you do, what you good at, you do you. What they good at, they, and we pull all of our resources and come together and we just little pieces to the pie. We just little pieces to the pie. But I need us, man. We have to have a common goal. What is our goal? You know? What is our ultimate goal? Man, I want to see us with a gated community. Or my son is outside. I'm not worried about no drive-by. I'm not worried about his bike getting stolen. I'm not worried about his cell phone getting stolen. I'm not worried about my car being stolen. See, these are little things. This, now we're creating heaven on earth. I don't have to worry about, we fix the mothers who every time her son goes outside, she's worried about, is he going to come back? Do you know how many mothers go through that? Every time they son go outside, they sitting at home, itch damn. Every time a police car go by, they wondering, is it mine? What happened? Heart start bumping. We got to create that environment. That should be our goal. To our sister, you ain't got to worry about your son, your daughter. They good out here. You ain't got to worry about all that fighting and, you know, killing and robbing. No, we good over here. That's the goal, man. That's what we need to be fighting for. That's what we need to be striving for. So all this white supremacy we talking about, you know how we beat white supremacy? Black excellence. We beat white supremacy with black excellence. That's how we do it. We have to begin to build. And the more, and see, here's the key. The more you build black excellence, you so focused on a black excellence, shit, I don't even see no white supremacy. What is that? Oppression? What is that? Now, mind you, yeah, I'm still in the mix with my people because I'm still in the trenches trying to raise them up. But I done freed myself. I'm in heaven. But I'm going back to hell trying to get my people. But when it comes to oppression, once you wake a black man and woman up to the knowledge of himself and he understands that he's a God, child of the Most High God, and have force and power within, ain't no more suppression. What you mean suppression? What do you mean oppressed? I'm overcoming all obstacles. Put me anywhere on the planet, we're going to overcome. That's how we got to get. So when it comes to, well, I had to sell drugs in the streets. Because I didn't have another way to do it. I had to sell that K2. I know I'm seeing a brother spaz out on the streets. I know I'm seeing them foaming at the mouth. And we laughing at them. And we filming them. That's us. Yeah, that's us. Filming them, laughing. Ha. But I needed that money. So we got to eliminate that. Excuse all the excuses. We got to eliminate that. I had to sell it to him because I got to eat. No, we overcoming all obstacles, man. You better learn how to create you a job, man. We teaching how to use your creative mind, your gifts, skills, and talents to not beg for a job, but create a job. This social media is so powerful. And any of y'all who's scared of racism, they ain't gonna do nothing because I'm black. Well, make your profile white then. If you're that scared, what's the excuse now? On social media, you can run a business. They don't know what you look like. You just gotta provide a service. So it's so many ways to make money. There's so many ways for us to do for ourselves. We just got to get the knowledge of self and the will and the desire to do it. And we can do whatever we put our minds to, man. If we can put our minds together and do it illegally, we can do it. We can do it legally. We can do it legally. So we no longer talking about what they doing to us. It's all about how we respond. So a brother may come down the street and call you out your name. As long as he don't touch you, you control how you respond. Yes, sir, brother. I understand you having a bad day, man. You have a blacktastic day, brother. I can't really entertain it. Easy. Or you can say, well, nigga, what you want to? I mean, it's on you. But do you want to do that to everybody who come by and say something? So we have to learn how to rise above emotions into the thinking of God. See, when we go door to door with the Final Call, how you doing, brother? My name is Brother Ben X. Hey, man, you ever checked out our black-owned Final Call newspaper? Man, it's news you can use. We just trying to uplift our people. Man, get that mother out my face. See, I can respond and cuss him back out, but I got to turn the other cheek. See, now, turn the other cheek don't mean physically now. That means when you're trying to redeem your people, you can't meet them with the same aggression or the same attitude that they bring you because you know what kind of condition they in. Now, we not talking about physically now, okay? Because God gave us this life and no one has the right to take it. You have the right to defend it. So we have to learn to rise above our emotions into the thinking of God. So it's many things we have to do as a people to create the environment that we want us, that we, that, that is, I guess you can say, acceptable to raise our children up in. So they won't come in contact with certain individuals. You know, all the gang violence that we're going through right now, a lot of it, these brothers don't even know why they beefing. They don't even know why. Man, why y'all beefing, bro? Man, I don't know, man. I just don't like them dudes, man. Damn, that's it. So when the conflict resolution, Brother Willie was talking about all of the conflicts that he's been able to dispute, okay, and resolve, he said at the root of it was just misunderstanding. That's all it is. We have a misunderstanding. He got on blue, I had on red. That's just what it was, man. Little small petty stuff. All that can be fixed. All that gotta be fixed, man. Gotta be fixed. We gotta stop this cycle of killing each other and robbing each other and doing things to each other for no reason, because we know we have an enemy on the planet that's been doing this since they've been here. They nature. Now, we can talk about them, but I mean, at the end of the day, I in 2018, I'm not surprised at a dog at a dog that barks. Not surprised at it. And y'all can, you know, let that sink in, but you can, I'm not surprised at dogs barking. But when I see my own brother, when your mother look like mine, you grow up just like me, we in the same condition, you know I had to struggle, but you gonna rob me? You knew how I grew up, but you gonna kill me? That's what we need to be surprised at. That's what we need to say. Hold on a minute. What's going on here? I grew up in the same neighborhood you grew up in. And I don't care. I don't care if my street name different than yours. You may be another hood, but man, that's just your hood just across the train tracks, man. That ain't number 5 minutes away. You killing me over a street you don't even own? You killing me over a hood that you don't even own? Your name ain't no... You may write it on graffiti. Yeah, you may blow it up. But you don't own that. You don't own that. And we killing each other over signs and hoods we don't even own. We got to get over that. We got to see how petty this is. So, you know, I'm done, man. I just wanted to come on, man, and just share this, man, because at the end of the day, we don't know what happened here. But always, as we see these things happen in our lives, we should see, how can I learn from this? Because we don't want to get in the habit of saying, man, that was messed up, and then we don't learn nothing. Man, that was messed up, and we don't do anything to change, to protect our lives, to protect our children. That's what, you know, that's what we got to look at. That's what we got to look at. When anything happens in life, yes, it's messed up. Yes, we grieve. Yes, we, Black Lives Matter. You know, we're going to hashtag it up. We're going to duke it up real good. But let's not let her die in vain. Let's not allow these things to continue to happen. We get pumped up for 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, or a month go by, and we just go right back to usual. We got to change, man. We got to make a change. We got to make a change. Somebody said, can you get your own TV show? I'm on TV right now. Whenever you looking at me live, this is TV. We don't have to go to the white man's television, or... You understand me? They think that, well, I gotta go through them, and because I'm on a television network, I can't say certain things, and they gonna control me, and they gotta control what time I come on. I like being able to come on when I want to. Now, man, then this ain't black on as far as Facebook, but y'all get what I'm saying. I ain't controlled. You know, I can come on when I want to come on. So if you looking at me live right now, hey, this TV, sister or brother, well, I don't know where we on TV. We live and in the mix, okay? That's what it's about. It's about how, you know, we getting the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's all it's about. All right. Now, if you want to come on over to NFAstudios.com, I will be over there. That's our black-owned platform, and I got a show called Brother Ben X Uncensored on NFAstudios.com. But with that being said, man, I hope I said something to you all that was of any value. I hope I said something that inspired you, that just got you back on track. If I did, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for listening to the Brother Ben X podcast. Y'all have a blacktastic day. I am out.
Down.